listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Hour two of Miller and Moulton on this Friday. Hope you've had a good week. Thanks for ending it with us here on the Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. Mike Westhoff, longtime friend of the show, 30-plus years, an assistant coach in the NFL and a few colleges in and around that. He's written a book. He'll join us 1 hour from now to talk about it.
He's written a book. He's joined Facebook. He's joined Twitter.
Saw that yesterday. All of a sudden, I'm being followed by Mike Westhoff. I'm like, huh.
Somebody's got a PR department.
I was going to say, so he's really doing this, huh? I will say, and you and I agreed on this, that he is the type of person who should write a book.
And I'm about halfway through it, and I'm terrible because I have started 5 million books that I've not finished. And I get going, I read half the book, and then life gets in the way, and I don't go back to it. And that's kind of where I am with Mike's book right now. But it's just stories. You know, I mean, he crashed Bear Bryant's office when he was a young coach. And then at the end of it, he and Bear Bryant are sitting under a tree, and Bear's talking to him about football. He's an interesting guy. He really and truly is. You know, has battled cancer and beat it. Obviously the accolades as a coach, but and you know, Mike doesn't love where the game is right now because there's no place for Mike Westhoff in football right now.
Right. Right. He probably likes the USFL more. They're doing kickoffs in the 25. There's actually special teams in the USFL.
And when he started, there wasn't a special teams coordinator. He was the offensive line coach and special teams coach because, well, they needed one. And he just said yes. So, looking forward to chatting with Mike. Always a good time to have Coach Westhoff on the show. We've been focused on college football, but it was a tremendous night in the NHL, David. And the Tampa Bay Lightning, well, did they end the Florida Panthers season last night? Is this done?
I think the Tampa Bay Lightning last night, when Ross Colton scored with, I don't know,
it's like 3.8 seconds left,
whatever they said it was left in the game. Mark, I really think they just secured their place in the Stanley Cup final. Because I don't think either Carolina or the Rangers can beat the winner of this series. I don't. Carolina's a really good, solid team. They are a tough out. They can skate, but they don't have an exceptional player. Aho might be the closest thing they have to somebody in which you're like, we got to worry about him. Their defense is pretty good. It's not great. Their goaltending is pretty good, but not great, despite how well Ronta played in game one against the Rangers. And Carolina's a poor Tampa Bay. You know, they can do what Tampa Bay does. They just can't do it as well. And the Rangers are not in the Lightning class. So I don't know about you, Mark. I thought the winner of this series was going to the finals. And you could argue that that goal scored last night to win the game 2-1 is going to propel the Lightning. You know, 3-4 weeks from now, they're going to be facing probably Colorado, but we'll see in the finals.
We'll see. Colorado last night beaten by St. Louis, who looked very good in that game to win over the Avalanche. But, David, the one thing, I think Carolina's defense is terrific, and the way their defensemen can jump into the play offensively, I think is terrific. But there's a headman on this Tampa team, the last time I checked.
Right. And there's a second defenseman who's better than anybody that Carolina has also, named Ryan McDonough. I mean, the Lightning have 5 elite players that certainly the next series doesn't have. They got the best goalie in the world. They have 2 elite defensemen, one who's one of the 3 best in the game for the last 8 years. And they've got a Hall of Fame sniper in Stamkos. Kucherov's wonderful. And if they ever get Braden Point back, well, for goodness sakes, this is the best two-way player on the team.
Well, and now you've got Corey Perry scoring goals. You got this kid last night, Colton, scoring a goal. I mean, you're getting the bottom six guys to contribute as well in tight games.
Right.
It's not like they're scoring in the Calgary 9-6 game here. You're getting your bottom six guys to contribute in a 2-1 hockey game. And for the life of me, I asked it yesterday. I don't think the Florida Panthers can beat Tampa in 2-1-3-2 games. And Tampa hasn't mastered on how to play these games right now.
So here are the Lightning, who's having their – and for those that don't really know hockey, there are usually 12 forwards, four lines of three. And you got your top six and your bottom six. Usually your top six do the goal scoring, and your bottom six, you know, they check, they play defense, they grind out shifts. They kill time so that the really good players can come back on the ice. And the bottom six players for Tampa are the ones scoring their goals here in their last three playoff wins. Meanwhile, Florida's got four or five elite forwards. Their top six is excellent. They can't put the biscuit in the basket right now, certainly not against the Lightning. And they have no chance of winning this series if the Barkovs and the Huberdeaux of the world are not going to be sensational.
Fam Forever in our Twitch chat room says, I'm a very casual hockey fan, but that game had me riveted, and I actually jumped out of my seat with the last second goal. I'm a very astute hockey fan. I jumped out of my seat when they scored that on the last goal. I yelled out loud to no one. And it was a little bit of a shriek. It was, ah!
That's the second time we've gone Howard Dean in the show today.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you, David, but I'm sitting there going, man, I really want to go to bed right now. The basketball game's over. I got to give me 5 minutes of the third quarter to make sure Miami doesn't pull a 22-2 again. But I've already committed myself to going, this damn hockey game could last forever. And so I don't know if my excitement was that I was going to go to bed or that they scored with 3.8 seconds or a little bit of both. But I was all set for that game to be a couple of overtimes. I had it in my head that that game might last a while.
Mark, I might have been asleep before all the players left the ice. After they scored that goal, I was so tired. I'm hanging on, and I'm saying, oh, come on, you've got to watch overtime. This is Tampa Bay in Florida. And I just dead exhausted. And so when they scored on the inside, I did what you did on the outside, not necessarily because I wanted the Lightning to win. The sports fan in me wanted the series to be 1-1.
Both of us. Because I wanted this to go seven. I don't see how this goes seven now.
No. Here's the only thing that works for the Panthers in a strange way. They have 2 days off before they play again. And in theory, it's 1 day to really lick their wounds psychologically. And then maybe it's another day to have a good practice, make a couple adjustments. And Mark, let's be brutally honest. This series, while we think is 90% over, two-time defending Stanley Cup champion, up 2-0, and now they get to go home. But one early power play goal from the Panthers in Game 3 could literally change a lot.
It could, and David, yesterday I ran into Publix and and I wish I remembered his name, but all of a sudden I'm walking through Publix by myself, and all of a sudden I get a, Mark, who's going to win the game tonight? And it was the guy behind the meat counter at Publix. And he was talking about Lightning Panthers. And I said this to him yesterday, and I'll say it again. I'm old school when it comes to this sport. Someone's hitting Vasilevskiy in Game 3. And I'm not messing around here. There's traffic going to that. And if we have to take a goaltender interference penalty because someone ran the goaltender, I'm okay with it right now. There's undisciplined penalties, and then there's going to the net penalties. I want to make sure that we make life as uncomfortable for Vasilevskiy as humanly possible. And if taking a penalty and doing so happens, I am very comfortable with that.
I'm old school in this sense, Mark. Like, there are two theories as to scoring goals. One is simple. You throw a ton of rubber at the net, and eventually you get bounces and things go in. And the other school of thought is a more modern school of thought, which is, listen, these goalies are better than before. Teams are better at keeping you to the outside, etc. Make the extra pass to get the higher percentage scoring opportunity. You're not, the goalies are too good nowadays to just throw rubber at the net and get things through. And I think right now Florida's fallen victim to they're making the extra pass. And Mark, I'm old. When you're in trouble scoring, power play or otherwise, my theory is throw the shot on net and rush the net. I mean, now, oftentimes, nowadays, yeah, maybe it doesn't work. And maybe you're one and done for 2 hours, and they make the save, and they clear the zone, and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes you get a puck to go in off an elbow, a shin pad, a skate, or what have you, and that opens the floodgates. You know, Carolina, literally, a veteran defenseman who never even shoots, just decided, oh, what the heck, I'll just throw the puck on net. When it goes off a Ranger player's skate into the net, they win a playoff game. Florida needs a bounce right now. They do. They need to make their own break, or they need a bounce. Otherwise, this thing's over.
And it's really a combination of the two, David. I'm with you 100%. They've got to make their own break, but they need to get one. And going to the net is the style in which we both, at the end of the day, think that's the way to make this happen. They've got to get bodies to the net in 5-on-5. And right now, Tampa has been masterful at blocking shots. Masterful. It has been an exhibition of how to play defense right now of what the Lightning have going on.
And what's good to see for a couple of puckheads like us is so many people, whether it be the text line or in the Twitch chat room, who are enjoying this. Even though the games are 4-1 and 2-1, they're enjoying it. They're appreciating just how much talent's on display. Miller and Moulton. Thanks so much for listening. Friday edition, Florida Sports Network.
Welcome back to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
21 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us, Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. If you miss any part of the show, like our interview last hour with Bill King of Nashville Sports Radio, one of the major radio voices in the South about college football. And it's the focus of our poll question, Mark. You don't get many college football poll questions in mid-May.
Who's team on? Team Jimbo, Team Nick? I'm Team Jimbo, for what it's worth.
I am as well, but it's nuanced. And I went to floridasportsnetwork.com, FL Sports Network, that David Moulton, the Mark Miller, you know, I voted in the poll question. But I always give my reasoning why. And I said Jimbo, not because of what Nick said is necessarily wrong. It's that A, you don't go public with it, and then B, you don't try to settle it in private.
All of those things. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, right now, three quarters of you are on Team Jimbo. I saw a poll last night that was out there, and it was done, you know, with a national audience, and it was about 58% Jimbo.
We had a couple of poll questions yesterday. This one, first one's not looking good for most of us because 61% of you said that Tiger would make the cut. And right now he's got work to do if that's going to happen. He's going to have to probably shoot even one over today.
Well, one over I think would be fortunate because the cut would be two over right now. There were 74 golfers, I think, that were two over or better. So even the three overs would miss the cut. So double it's four.
Yeah, I'm
maybe.
Just saying if it gets harder. Maybe. I think even is what he has to shoot. Maybe one over if scores get much higher today. That's all.
But the other physically, I'm sorry, Mark, physically he did not look good yesterday.
No, he did not. No, for all the talk that he was much stronger and all the things he said, he did not look it at all. Seemed to rely on his golf club everywhere he walked. I mean, I joke to you, David, even on the very first hole, when they all left 10, teeing off, Tiger was quickly 20 yards behind the other two guys. And he hit last, so he's going to start a little bit later, but I mean, he just kept falling further and further behind his playing partners walking down those hills, and it looked bad right from the get-go to me.
People who have been on site said he looked good Monday, he looked good Tuesday. He was slowing down on Wednesday, but he wasn't limping, but he was moving more slowly. And then yesterday, you could see it early.
Got off to a great start. Two birdies through his first five holes, and then, well, it went the other way, and it went the other way quite quickly.
I mean, Mark, think about this. He bogeyed six of his last 10 holes. That's a professional. I mean, that's the type of stuff that, you know, we're used to scorecards like that.
Right.
I mean, Tiger bogeyed six of his last 10 holes. That's a guy who was struggling physically.
I think
and
I
even
Wednesday.
He acknowledged it afterwards.
I think I did Wednesday too, but throw a double in there as well. All right, the other poll question was much more important, David. If you score an 80 on a test, what grade would that be? That had three times the votes about how Tiger would do in the PGA. And nearly 80% of you said it would be a B.
Of course you did. Let's lower the standards. Yep. Yep. And you're all complaining about participation trophies and things aren't as good now as they were then and higher standards. And we keep, okay, all right. But make sure that's a B. My 81 should be a B.
We're not asking what they think it should be. We're just asking what it was. And the majority of us, that was a B. I apologize to you and your upbringing for all the beatings you took from your mother from bringing a C home on a report card, apparently, because you had an 82.
Actually, my mother never beat me over grades. The grades, it was the comments. The comments were the problem.
They always are, David.
Right, because the comments are your behavior. My mother was never really concerned about the grades. My mother, fortunately, thought, you know, my kid's fairly smart. He's going to be okay, you know, from the smart standpoint. All right, but he's got to behave himself, and he's talking in every class. I mean, Mark, the worst thing you could get on a report card. I mean, I actually in one class got an A and a U.
And?
And I don't know, for those of you that didn't have the satisfactory or unsatisfactory, it basically was about your behavior in class. And I would get an A and a U.
Felipe, I could see you getting in a lot of trouble for talking in class. I could see that. I could see that's one commonality that Miller, Moulton, and Felipe have, is that you had to have the early report cards with talks too much in class.
Yeah.
And your mom's a principal, so that can't go over well.
Well, also, every teacher expected me to be like a wizard and super smart, but I just really didn't care.
Why did they expect that?
Because I was Miss Alvarez's son.
Gotcha.
Miss Alvarez, oh my God, she's the best.
You didn't go to your mother's school, did you?
Like the school that she worked at? Yes.
Okay, see, there was something that my mother and I talked about. All right, and my mother made sure, my mother had a chance to work in my school district. All right, and she specifically didn't do it for the reason that did not want the two of us in the same building. Didn't think it would be good for either one of us. And I thanked her for that.
There were pros and cons, I'll say that. I wouldn't mess around with her. I'd just be like, what's up, Miss Alvarez? I wouldn't call her mom.
And just, you know, a little behind the curtain here, it was just my mom and I growing up. It would have made life a lot easier for my mom if we were going to the same place every day. A lot easier. And she said, yeah, this would not be good for either one of us.
Really?
Yeah. And she was right. Absolutely right. Well, she would have heard everything. Even if she didn't want to, she would have heard it.
My mom gave me a detention one time.
That's great. I like her
really
even
is.
More now.
She didn't care.
What did she give you a detention for?
I was rapping in the hallway and screaming lyrics that were pretty vulgar.
Unbelievable. at the school that your mother's the principal at?
At a Catholic school that his mother's the principal at. Yep. What's the matter with you?
She opened the door and now is right there. She's like, come here.
Lucky you only got one. You got a break. Should have got a week's worth.
Yeah, really? Could have been sent home.
So Team Jimbo, Team Nick, that's our question today. An 80 is a B. We've come to that.
All right. If you guys say so, that's fine. I can take the loss. I can just behave unsatisfactorily, but I could take the loss.
Well, this is the one place we can never talk too much in class, David.
Right. My mother just texted me, and you would have been beaten up daily, honking off the kids. Miller and Moulton, thanks so much for being with us. I'm not crazy about this course. I got to be honest with you. I mean, I'm sure from a pure golf standpoint, what Gil Hanse did 4 years ago in the redesign, I'm sure to play it, it's spectacular. The variety of tees, sometimes you can cross over. I got to be honest with you. I don't see a signature hole. 18 is a bogey hole right now. I guess the tournament will be okay because the field, you know, the elite is rising, but of course isn't doing it for me.
Well, in 17, they can get home, right? Is that the par four that they actually, if they want to, they can stretch it out and get there? So I do think that that's an interesting hole come Sunday, that there can be decisions made there. But the crossing over and hitting over greens and the crossing over and hitting over fairways, it almost seems gimmicky to me, David.
So, but the course seems fair. You know, the players were complaining a little bit about the bunkers. Some of them, they didn't think had enough sand, complaining about some of the lies in the bunkers that you couldn't necessarily get a clean lie. I will say, you know, Jack, who obviously has designed hundreds, if not thousands of courses, he's always said, I feel the bunkers should be punitive. And players these days are not used to the bunkers being punitive.
Well, and they switch from a different sand to a coarse sand, so they're getting a few more rocks in there, and it's tough to spin the ball. The other thing is the rough, that they're either getting a flat lie or flyers, nothing in between, and that's causing havoc if you miss the fairways. But the fairways are pretty wide for a major championship. The starting five, albeit an hour late, is next. Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network.
Thanks for listening. And now, more of Miller and Moulton on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the hour. Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. Make sure you sign up for our golf tournament. You can do so by going to floridasportsnetwork.com. It's also where you can go to vote in our poll question, which today is, which team are you on? Team Jimbo, Team Nick. Our friend Bud Elliott did tweet out an hour ago when she said, hey, don't get me wrong, yesterday was spectacular, but it was not the greatest of all time. John Chaney did barge into a John Calipari press conference one time and was cursing and threatening to kill him. And had to be physically removed. Now, I will say, if Jimbo and Nick were in the same place yesterday, that could have been Jimbo.
SEC Media Day is coming up soon, folks.
My guess is, let's see, how many days is it? 3, 4, whatever the longest period of time you can space out appearances. That will be my guess. As to where Alabama and Texas A&M.
July 18th through the 21st.
Well, there you go.
They're
one
actually
of them
doing
them
in
first.
Atlanta this year, David.
It's about time. I mean, what's the appeal of Hoover, Alabama?
And
you drive past it on the way to Tuscaloosa, but I mean, come on now.
Nick's talking on Tuesday. Jimbo's talking on Thursday. They have 4 days for media days.
Well, got 14 teams, soon to be 16.
that mean it'll be a week?
No, I just think the 4 days will be more packed.
I hope so. That's a little much for SEC media days.
It sure is. Time now for
The Starting Five. Five stories you need to know. It's The Starting Five on Miller and Moulton. Here's number one.
Jimbo Fisher verbally eviscerates Nick Saban yesterday after Nick's comments about A&M buying all their players. And then Nick's complaints about NIL, which are not unfounded. Oh, by the way, the transfer portal still alive and well. The Biletnikoff winner, Pitt wide receiver Jordan Addison. Yeah, he's now USC wide receiver Jordan Addison. Mick Hubert, by the way, retired after 33 years of the voice of the Gators. I believe this weekend, starting tonight, final home baseball series for the Gators. And Nick's calling it. Well, to be honest, I don't know if they're home or away, but I read where he's going to do this weekend's baseball, and that's it. 33 years, voice of the Gators. Oh, my. Mick Hubert retiring.
I mean, and that, you know, that's obviously the great Mel Allen's line, but he made it his own.
And then Dick Enberg, yes, but he did. I mean, it seemed authentic.
There's no doubt. There is no doubt. It. And as someone who started listening to him not being a Gator fan, even to me, it seemed authentic.
And there's many a Gator who took to Twitter yesterday to basically say, you know, whether it was basketball, baseball, or football, he was the voice track of basically my fandom. 33 years. And when you think on top of it that Deckerhoff, after nearly 50, walking away from the Noles, football is going to sound very different in the fall in Florida. Rory McIlroy, who doesn't get off to good starts in majors often lately, got off to a really good start yesterday at the PGA. Seven birdies on the way to a 5-under-65. He has a one-shot lead over Will Zalatoris and Tom Hoagie. Three other golfers are two back, including Justin Thomas, the only guy on the first page of the leaderboard who played in the afternoon yesterday. Tiger's four over, in danger of missing the cut, probably has to shoot even par today. Scheffler's one over, Spieth two over, Rahm three over. Hockey. Lightning score with less than 4 seconds left in regulation. Ross Colton with the goal. Tampa Bay beats Florida 2-1. They lead the series 2-0. The Panthers 0-for-4 on the power play, 0-for-25 on the power play in the playoffs. Oh, yeah, Lightning 1-for-3 on the power play. Mark, here's the stat sheet. Panthers had 8 more shots, 14 more hits, won 57% of the faceoffs, and lost. You know why?
Yeah.
Because they don't have a...
They don't have a Vasilevsky.
Right. Most teams don't have a Joe Burrow. Nobody's got a Vasilevsky.
Nope. Not anybody that's playing right now. That's for certain.
Games 3 and 4 are back-to-back. Sunday afternoon and Monday night in Tampa. Talking, I think, you know, 1 o'clock, something like that, on Sunday. So, 3 and 4 back-to-back. St. Louis, even the series with Colorado. David Perron with 2 goals, Blues 4-1 over the Avs. Game 2's tonight in Carolina and Calgary. The home teams are both up 1-0 on the Rangers and Edmonton, respectively. NBA last night, Celtics evened up the Eastern Conference Finals, 127-102 against Miami. They led by 25 at the half, so this one was over early. They shot over 50% for the game. They hit 20 threes. Yeah. Game 2 Western Finals tonight. Mark, the Warriors are a 6.5-point favorite. You and I both went down taking the points with the Mavs in Game 1. 5 then, 6.5 now. So, something to ponder. Lewis Robert with a homer and 4 RBIs. White Sox beat the Royals 7-4. Trevor Story made history yesterday. No second baseman had ever hit 3 homers and stole a base in a game before. He did that. Drove in 7 runs in Boston's 12-6 win over Seattle. Baltimore got a walk-off homer by Santander in the 9th. Beat the Yankees 9-6. The Mets' injuries keep piling up. Max Scherzer could miss 2 months with an oblique injury. So they have three starting pitchers on the IL, their starting catcher on the IL, and their setup guys probably out for the year. Yet they're 26-14 and lead the division by 7. No idea how they're doing it, but Alonso had a 2-run homer in the 10th to beat the Cardinals 7-6 yesterday.
A bomb.
Yes, he did.
A bomb.
That was a just drop the bat and take your time. Phillies lost to the Padres 2-0. Yu Darvish with 7 shutout innings. Reds doubled up Cleveland 4-2.
Where are you going to go?
They've won 8 of 12.
And yet are still under 300 on the season. Only a game and a half behind the Tigers, though, for the worst record in the sport. Two Arizona oldest franchises. Way to go, guys.
Yeah, I know. Arizona beat the Cubs 3-1. And remember how we said, you know, San Francisco had beaten the Rockies 12 times in a row? Well, Houston's beaten Texas in Houston 11 times in a row now. They beat the Rangers yesterday 5-1. The Ravens' longtime punter, Sam Koch, retired. He was 39 years old. He's played the second most games with his current team of all the players in the league. Only Aaron Rodgers has played more games with his team than the Ravens' longtime punter. They drafted his replacement. They'll save $2 million against the cap. 9-horse field for the Preakness, Mark. 9-horse field. Epicenter, who finished second in the Derby and is racing out of the 8 post, is the 6-5 favorite. Early Voting, which did not run in the Derby, racing out of the middle in the 5 post, is 7-2. Simplification, who was 4th in the Derby, is on the rail at 6-1. But a lot of people are talking up the filly. Secret Oath. Dwayne Lucas trained, won the Kentucky Oaks. Racing out of the 4 post is a 9-2. So the third betting favorite is actually the filly Secret Oath.
That'll have me. I'll root for the girl.
Hank Goldberg is discounting Secret Oath. I will say Hammer and Hank had a rough decade, but in the last 3 years, he's had a pretty good run talking the horses.
And he's saying no go on the Oaks or on the Oaks winner?
Yes, he wants no part of the filly, interestingly enough. So I didn't pay to get his picks, but he gave a teaser in which he said, but the one horse I'm discounting is Secret Oath. So I got to throw that in there. And that is the starting five. And we did it now because we had Bill King in the normal time slot for the starting five at 6:38. And so, you know.
He did the work. We might as well let him do the segment.
Right. And, you know, and also many of you are just joining the show. And this is kind of what happened last night in case you missed it.
It's our local sports page or our national sports page for you. If we had the national, that's what would be on that Agate page right there.
That was the best year and a half. They went through 10 years worth of money in a year and a half.
I will tell you what, I know the New York Times bought The Athletic. They are eerily close to trying to mimic the amount of money that The Athletic went through. I mean, this thing's losing $50 million a year right now. I don't know how much longer The Times is going to sustain this business model.
Well, my question is, how can you have a website that bad? I mean, it is so difficult to maneuver, so bulky. I mean, I got to admit, I'm not thrilled with the New York Times website either, but I mean, the Athletic website's awful.
You're going to get zero arguments from me.
And the content's tremendous, but the site is horrendous. Miller and Moulton. Lot going on today.
Little Jimbo and Nick talk. We obviously have games 2 in both the Eastern Conference Final and the Sunshine State Series. Boston equaling up the series last night, dominating the Heat. Jimmy Butler, the only Heat player that showed up for game 2.
I don't think Heat fans should overreact.
I do think they need Lowry back, David.
I'm with you there. I think the problem, though, is that he falls into the Chris Paul category. You know, Paul, 37, apparently hampered by a thigh injury. And once he was hampered, I mean, he was of no use to them. And I think they're keeping Kyle Lowry out until they can play him and not lose him again, if you know what I mean.
Well, it's getting late early, though.
It is.
And
I think you can give it a go in game three without him if he's iffy. I think you need him once you're behind.
Say the exact same thing, David. If you go down 2-1, then I think you have to press him into service. You know, as Felipe said, he can control the pace of the game. These are going to, at some point, the rock fights are going to continue. We're going to have a good game rock fight. And I like the idea of having a Lowry out there, because at some point, they're going to need someone to help distribute and get more scoring out of somebody not named Jimmy Butler.
By the way, it's worth mentioning, Kyle Lowry is a hitter from three. So three-point shooting as well will be provided.
If he plays, when he plays.
If you think about this, the Celtics have had three good halves. The Heat have had one. That's what would concern me more if I'm a fan of the Heat right now. I mean, because remember, the Celtics had a really good first half of game one.
Well, you could argue the Heat's had one good quarter. They had a great third quarter, because the fourth quarter in that game was reasonably equal. I mean, the Celtics made a couple of runs and tried to make that a game again. So I could argue that the Heat have played a good quarter so far in this series.
So now we have to ask ourselves, is Boston just better than Miami? And that's why the eight quarters have gone the way they have? Or if you're a Heat fan, well, heck, we're only playing at about 60% capacity here, and we're 1-1. We can actually find our game here, we could still be okay.
And, you know, Vincent left the game with an injury. I think that's something that you got to pay attention to. That
Tucker, too.
Or I'm sorry, Tucker, not Vincent. Tucker left with the injury. So that's...
Well, what was it? Damn near back-to-back times down the floor. They both slipped. Two guys slipped on the same spot. I mean, that was weird.
You know what they needed? They needed Felipe with the towel. That was
right. The City of Palms, they're running out with the mop.
Four wires tip off, but it doesn't matter. Yes,
correct. Yeah, he did it for the college tournament.
Oh, okay.
He was sweaty in the college tournament. He was filming in the high school tournament.
Gotcha.
But he was running around on the court for both of them. Don't kid yourself.
It's the same arena, though. Come on, Felipe, give me a little credit.
Yeah.
He's getting up at 4 in the morning.
He's 1,000 miles away, and he's an hour behind us, for crying out loud. Give the man a break.
I mean, a little something for the effort there, young lad.
Not to mention a pretty long day with a radio show and 6 hours of a megacast.
Although I didn't do much. I was on three times for like 28 total seconds. I had a great seat to a television show.
You did have a great seat. I was actually working out when it started. I was on the elliptical. There's about four people in the room, and I just yelled out, "Look at David!"
I was getting texts from people going, well, the best was the text I was getting from Joe's football spotters. They're texting me going, "Why are you so close?" And I'm going, "Well, apparently I might be needed." They're like, "Come on, you're not going to be needed." I'm like, "Well, I know that, but they don't."